Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello, and welcome to the EAN Cast, weekly neurology. My name is Gudrun Grapel, and I'm the clinical head of the neuropediatrics group at the Kepler University Hospital in Linz, Austria. And this month's topic is dealing with child neurology. And today's episode, we will talk about transition from childhood to adulthood. It's a great honor for me to say hello to my guests, which is Professor Grajo. She's from the team Pediatric. She's a pediatric neurologist from Bucharest, Romania. And the other team is Professor Berger. He's the head of the Department of Neurology in Vienna at the Medical University. So welcome and thank you for joining us today. And we're happy to talk about this very hot topic. I will start with my first question, actually, to Professor Grajo, because we're going to start with the children. In the first step of our life, we are children. My question is, how do you train the children or the adolescents, and how do you prepare them? What are your recommendation for preparing them to get a step into the adulthood?
First of all, thank you very much for inviting me for this podcast. We have this problem of transition in Romania. And because of this, we started to discuss with our colleagues how are they doing. A few years ago, we had a meeting with different colleagues from different countries in Romania. And each of us tried to share the experience of transition in each country. And then I discovered that things are very heterogeneous, at least in Europe, at least in the countries that were present for the discussion. And we realized that we were not doing a good job. So I think the young generation should be prepared for becoming adults, even if they have neurological disorder. They should be aware and know and understand their disorder, to be prepared for self-administration of their treatment when they become adults, and also to know how to manage their own lives without the help of the parents. We know that most of the times the parents become very protective with their children when they have a certain disorder. They help them too much. They do too much instead of them. So this is also another job, to train the parents and to educate the parents. But yes, transition should be learning, teaching the young generation to become autonomous, to learn about their disease, to address adolescence-related issues like sexual life, relationships, driving license, employment. They should know everything about that and be able to manage that.
When we're sending now our children to the adult neurologist, Professor Berger, where are the challenges? What are you, what are the problems you are confronted with the young patients or the young adults?
Yeah, thank you very much, Gudrun, for this question. And I also would like to welcome our auditorium and happy to be here in this conversation. I think this is on several levels. On the first hand, I would like to say that not generally I would like to, you know, so-called bash the missing transition between childhood and adulthood management of neurological patients. Because there are some services, I think, which are working excellent on certain sites. And, you know, my perception is that, especially in the epilepsy management, also through various organizations in Europe, it works quite good in local settings. The same is true for other, let's say, pediatric neurological conditions, which are probably a little bit easier than others. As an example, the transition from pediatric MS patients usually works quite well because, you know, they grow up, they mature, and at a certain time point, they will enter the service of adult neurology. However, this is only the peak of the iceberg, of course, because in general, and I don't have to tell you as a pediatric neurologist, that the spectrum is quite extremely broad. Having said that, and this is also the reason why there is a pediatric neurology specialization, because otherwise we could cover this anyway as adult neurologists, which is not the case, because I think we are sometimes confronted with disorders which we are not really used to. And if we are not used to those conditions or syndromes, then we also do not have any experiences, which means on the one hand, I think it's definitely a matter of education. Education means in this term, of course, the adult neurologists, to get aware and to get expertise in the pediatric neurology condition. But on the other hand, it's also a matter of different settings. As Dana told us, by the education of parents and sometimes the very protective, which I think is completely natural because we all as parents have, of course, strong feelings if our kids get sick and we want to take care of them and protect them. So it's a completely understandable setting in pediatric neurology. However, there's a paradigm shift in the adult neurology management because we are not used to deal with patients plus their parents. We are seeing the patients as adult, autonomous individuals. So now this is also sometimes accompanied by fear of adult neurologists that they have the whole family sitting in their office with also, I think, completely understandable requests. And last but not least, and I think this is just to throw the stick for further discussions, is that sometimes there is also a lack of really systematic approaches, including also infrastructural and other resources, which definitely cause not only challenges, but probably also limitations.
This actually brings me to another item. As you said, the resources, and what about our children, our handicapped children? I think these are big challenging, preparing the parents for the transition and receiving these patients. What do you say to this item, Dana?
I would like to sort of take the ball from where the Professor Berger already throw it. We feel the same thing like you already said. Sometimes it's easy to transfer the patients with certain disorder to adult neurology. Sometimes we feel a big resistance. The easiest way is when the adult neurologist already know the disease, or for adult neurology is a frequent disease, while for the pediatric neurologist is a rare one, like multiple sclerosis, for example. And that's the easiest way to make transfer. Very difficult it is with very rare disorders and patients with disability, because there are different reasons. For the first ones, especially the diseases that now have certain personalized treatments and genetic treatments, these are diseases that usually do not pass the way of childhood. In the past, when these treatments didn't exist, these children died before adulthood. And now, with the new treatments, wow, there are many, many patients that already reach adulthood, and there are disorders that adult neurologists don't know, actually, because usually they started in childhood and never reached adulthood. So it's a big challenge for the adult neurologist, suddenly facing new disorders that they didn't know before, and also new treatments that are difficult to be managed like substitution treatments and genic treatments and so on. This is one side. And the other side is the child with disability. They don't really want to have children to be difficult to manage. And this is why it is so important what you already said, Professor Berger, that training the adult neurologist for some simple issues on how to deal with this kind of patients will be really useful for a good transition process and transfer process. I think another issue is to train the adult neurologist to deal with the whole family, because in the case of the patients with disability, it's very difficult for these persons to manage themselves, to have consultations. So they will need the help of the parents or carers to help them.
Probably I would like to add what you said and echo what you said, Dana, because apart from this educational part, which is, of course, a matter of you can deal with because you organize, I don't know, any educational meetings, et cetera, et cetera. The other part is, of course, as you said, children with, for example, developmental disorders or psychiatric involvement. And the third part, which is also not that trivial, is the more it gets systematic disorders. Because if there are multi-organ systematic disorders, it gets more difficult because the adult neurologists don't see themselves as these case managers, as probably in some sites, the pediatric setting allows this case management in a better way. I think this is sometimes very well solved on certain sites or in some locations. But I think the message we should deliver is, despite all the challenges and probably also limitations, should be not to raise the bar of difficulties, because that definitely would also raise, let's say, anxiety. And the resistance you mentioned, Dana, in terms of taking over responsibilities for grown-up pediatric patients.
Yeah, you're right in what you are saying, because now we face the same issues of multidisciplinary approach, even in pediatric care, because most of us are subspecialized, actually, in very narrow fields of pediatric neurology and don't know everything about pediatric neurology. And of course, for multisystemic disorders, we need the help of our pediatric colleagues that are specialized in different other organs, let's say like that. So for disorders like neurofibromatosis, for example, we have a group of 10 different specialties for multidisciplinary approach. But this is something new also for pediatrics, because before that, our professors were holistic doctors. They knew everything about everything, which is not possible currently because of the huge and exponential development of research and of information. Every day they discover a new gene. You cannot know everything about everything. So I think it's the same challenge in pediatrics too.
So actually, listening to you both, the best thing or the take-home message is talk to each other. So the adult neurologist can learn from the pediatric neurologist, and the other way around, the pediatric neurologist can better understand the problems in the adulthood. What do you mean?
You know, I don't think that learning from each other is always a good idea. So completely independent from the topic. But I believe, and Dana and I are trying also to, apart from just chatting and learning from each other, is also to try to implement a more systematic approach in terms of raising awareness. Because if the awareness is not raised and just, let's say, in a way, concentrated in well-established local settings, then it's fine for the local setting, but it does not really generalize. So I think, and this was also the reason why, and it was the input came from Dana about 2 years or 1.5 years ago, that the European Neuropediatric Society and the European Academy of Neurology, and we were the representatives of those two organizations, thought it would make a lot of sense to have a task force, a joint task force, to not only define the problem, because we know the problem, but I think it also makes sense to establish facts and figures. Because without facts and figures, everybody would blame you that we are just talking out into the blue sky. So I think this task force is one of the ways, not exclusively the only one, but it's one of the way to systematically raise the awareness on the one hand, to also establish claims and urgent needs, but finally also to prepare or even to offer solutions. And I think this is one of the responsibilities of such organizations like the EPNS and the EAN, that we should take care at least to pathen the pathways. We cannot solve it in every country and in every site, but we can establish the standards. Or, first of all, before establishing standards, we can pick up the problem and raise the awareness among our communities, because that's, I think, highly important. And then we have a lot of offsprings, education, claim for infrastructural improvements, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we are on a quite good way. And for example, it was just these days that a survey was launched among the adult, but also neuropediatric colleagues and community, which means several thousands in Europe, to ask about their experiences, but also their demands on the transition process from their own knowledge or experiences. So I think this is the first good activity. And with that, I guess Dana and I will work hard on a kind of, let's say, position, recommendation, etc. paper, which is not exclusively dedicated to a specific disorder, because this exists in the community. It should be in a more general neurology way, and also a kind of umbrella for thought, which can be transferred to the local settings.
Yeah, actually, a few years ago, we came to you, and we are very happy that European Academy of Neurology and you, Professor Berger, were so open to discuss and work together, because we realize it's so difficult for pediatric neurology to establish the transition. So I'm so happy that now we are working together, and probably we will have a minimum set of rules for transition that could fit in all kinds of countries with high income and low income, and maybe for all disorders.
It's good to hear that some solutions are on the way, and please, all people who listen, make the survey, give us your answers to help to improve the treatment for all the children and the young adults. Thomas, Dana, thank you very much for the very interesting conversation. And well, I hope to hear you or see you guys all in the next topic in the frame of the child neurology. Thank you and bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you also very much.
This has been EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EANcast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.